Israel respond to the attack from Iran? Israel did take out Iranian military leaders in an attack in Damascus in Syria. So Iran responds by sending 350 drones and ballistic missiles across as much of Israel as they can, trying to kill every civilian they can get their hands on. But the attack was known, including the amount of hardware that they had and they were going to utilize. That information got leaked to the United States and Israel, allowing Israel to respond by shooting down over 99%, or I should say 99%, of the incoming drones and rockets with the help of the United States and the help of Jordan. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. Find everything I do at TonyKatz.com. The phone number, 317-239-9393. The problem is people keep calling this a win. Look at that. Israel won. Look at what it exposed. Look at how weak the Iranians really are. I'm sorry. The people calling this a win, I think, are Pollyanna. That Israel could defend itself, great. But you cannot rely solely on defense, nor can you rely on a defense that costs that much. Now you've depleted a fair amount of Iron Dome. What attack comes next? And you have progressives here in the United States, like Representative Ocasio-Cortez, who don't believe in funding it or helping with it. She cried when funding for Iron Dome got passed. Cried. And you say to me, well, Tony, we shouldn't be funding other nations anyway. Okay. If that's the case, I don't want to hear Joe Biden tell Israel you shouldn't respond, which is his position. Oh, we don't want to escalate. That's the position of people like Senator Chris Coons. My God, how despicable the senator from Delaware is. No response at all? That's the way you maintain things? As a matter of fact, as the Jerusalem Post reports it, not only did the United States know about it, they seem to give some level of idea of what the scope could be. You mean you were okay with an attack on Israel because, after all, you were going to be able to shoot everything down anyway? Oh, we've got some leadership issues for sure. I will have more on that story on Tony Katz today at noon. The economic boycotts from this group, who knows who they are? They're getting way too much credit. They're going to block the streets to keep you from getting to work in Indianapolis and other places. That's their plan. Their plan is to say, we so support Hamas. We so support the destruction of Israel. That's this group. They call themselves a pro-Palestine activist group. That we're going to block traffic. And so you can't reach businesses with ties to Israel. Okay, Jew haters. A reminder to Mayor Joe Hogsett, to Governor Eric Holcomb, and to the Indianapolis City County Council, to law enforcement. Your business can very much be tied to the concepts of free speech. And no group is allowed to violate your First Amendment right to express yourself through commerce. That's how I would see it. But if you don't see it that way, at least see it this way. A reminder that we have a tremendous amount of snowplows in Indianapolis doing nothing right now. And I think you got to use them every now and again, even in the springtime, just to make sure everything's working. So if you have people blocking the streets, just a reminder to Indianapolis, we've got a lot of snowplows. We have a tremendous number of snowplows. We have an outrageous number of snowplows. Just like to remind people of all the good things we have here in Indy, and they should be used. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. You want to talk money? What happens if the Indiana Fever indeed do what everybody knows they're going to do and selects Caitlin Clark with the first pick in the WNBA draft? The first 2 weeks of home games, at the very least, call it the first month, they're sellouts, right? This isn't even a question. Certainly those first 2 weeks, every hotel in downtown, the media coverage, it's gonna be nuts. There's economic reality in this. And it could be very good. Tony Katz, Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. A name so nice, I said it twice. Gary Dick joins us right now from InsideIndianaBusiness.com. Gary Dick, see, I said his name twice as well. InsideIndianaBusiness.com on X at IIB. There's no question, at least in my mind, that the Fever aren't going to take Caitlin Clark. I haven't seen anything that says, well, depending on what the team needs, no. You take the star power, and the star power, exactly how much translation to dollar power are they expecting?
And to kind of put a finer point on that, Tony, it would be the upset of the century, I think, if the Fever does not take Caitlin Clark tonight. But the impact is going to be significant. How significant? As they say, time will tell. Ball State is actually out with a study. That's how much focus is being put on this pick and the impact, the Caitlin Clark effect, if you will. This study suggests at least $2.5 million or so of additional economic impact into Indianapolis, the Indianapolis region, maybe 26,000 plus additional fans to Fever games. All you have to do is look at the ticket prices. I meant to check before I got on here, but ticket prices are up substantially for Fever games, and the season starts in about a month. So we're going to be right there with this impact coming very soon.
All right, I'm on the site. I'm getting to the site to find out where the ticket prices are. I have no doubt that tickets are more, and capitalism works, and they now have a product that people want to see. I would consider $2.5 million to be a little light right there in terms of the impact. But is the impact in restaurants? The impact is in hotels. How are the Fever looking at this as an impact to the team?
Well, I think probably in a number of ways. And you can't forget Aaliyah Boston. They've got another superstar already on the team. So two really great faces of the franchise to put out there to fans. So I think the Fever's going to put a great product on the court. You've got Gainbridge Fieldhouse, a great arena. And you look at merchandise and the marketing of the team, all those kinds of things certainly come into play. New fans, and that, I think, is probably one of the things that really excites the franchise, is new fans, new families and fans coming into the fold with Caitlin Clark arriving. And the impact she has already had on the women's game, but many people believe she's going to continue to transform, have that transformative effect on the WNBA as well. So the impact to be felt here in Indy, but also perhaps throughout the league as well, and lifting the league up as well.
I'm looking at one of the sites for ticket prices for the first game, the Fever against the Liberty at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Yeah, you can spend over $1,000 on a ticket if you want to get really close. Talking to Gary Dick from InsideIndianaBusiness.com on X at IIB is where you find it. Let me bring you down to Evansville really quick, where they have got the Chicago service back. We're talking about the airport, and these things matter to the growth of the city and of the state. When you see these regional airports lose connections to major cities, it has a real effect on what business can come there. How did this get back into rotation? What does it mean for Evansville?
It was a huge, perhaps the top business issue in Southwest Indiana, Tony. We were in Evansville last week for the announcement for IBJ Media and Inside Indiana Business. Our Engage Indiana series kicked off down there. Huge effort over the last number of months. The state was involved all the way up to the governor's office, the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, and others to get these flights back. Before the pandemic, Evansville had 7 daily flights across 2 airlines to Chicago. That went away with the pandemic and was not coming back because the airlines had not added enough pilots to make those flights happen. Corporate headquarters were looking at leaving potentially. Huge, Old National Bank has a major presence in Chicago. Chicago. It was a major, major problem for them. So a lot of people in the business community certainly rejoicing. They still need to get back that Detroit flight for Toyota in Southwest Indiana. But it just, as you suggest, it just goes to show the impact that these regional airports feel when they lose service.
So this will be American Airlines that has returned to the flights. These planes, are there smaller aircraft, smaller jets, 50 seats on board, as you have the story, and they will be twice a day between Evansville and O'Hare. It's not Midway. They're going right to O'Hare. Yep. Is there a requirement from where you brought up Detroit, for example, but is there a requirement that Evansville, I shouldn't say requirement, is there a desire from Evansville, a need for more? Do they want to have more access to Chicago? Is it about Detroit? And what other hubs are they trying to get access to?
Yeah, I think the big one was Chicago, certainly to get service back there. Detroit is another big market for them, in particular because of Toyota and that massive plant they have nearby in Princeton. They need access, better access to Detroit. So that's another market to be sure. Those two, they have added flights in Evansville, more leisure flights, if you will, to Orlando. And there is an anticipation they're going to get Las Vegas before long as well. So things, they've made improvements, are making improvements to the airport in Evansville. That connectivity issue, certainly a big one for the business community and others, and that seems to be breaking through there in Southwest Indiana. But a really big issue that was really weighing heavily on the business community for a number of months.
Before I let you go, the deal is done. Shareholders of U.S. Steel approved the sale to Nippon Steel, which is based out of Japan. Now, I don't think we see Japan, of course, as anything but an ally these days, and we haven't seen anything that would make us think that with the threat of China in their periphery, that they're not going to do anything to damage the relationship with the U.S. You had the Japanese representatives here with President Biden just last week. But this sale of U.S. Steel to a Japanese company, how does that have Hoosiers and those within the steel industry looking at that today?
There's certainly an uneasy feeling if you go to Northwest Indiana, where U.S. Steel, there's not a more American company certainly in this country, and it literally built Gary, Indiana, that U.S. Steel. So there is a connection run through the fabric of that community. There's an uneasiness about not having American ownership. The Biden administration has talked about its opposition to the deal, but I think this is going to push through. As you mentioned, Japan, an ally, and I think that as this continues to move forward, it will indeed move forward. And there are people in Northwest Indiana who feel the impact is going to be positive, and there will be cash infusion and improvements made to the facility there.
Gary Dick, InsideIndianaBusiness.com, on X at IIB. Find him personally at Gary Dick, G-E-R-R-Y, at Gary Dick on X. A pleasure, man. Appreciate you being here.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Dow futures up 240. NASDAQ futures up 127. I think there's going to be a conversation of this changing, depending on if Israel makes any retaliation towards Iran. Does that have any effect on oil prices? All these things do connect, and so we should be aware of that. Right now, oil is down on the West Texas Intermediate and on the Brent crude. West Texas is at $84.91 a barrel. Brent crude at $89. It had seen certainly higher numbers over the last month. I guess is the way I would put that. If I take a look. We were over $90 for parts of April. Right now, down a little bit on the Brent. This, of course, could change things. But here's the number. I don't like the number at all, but it's going to be seen as, look how great. Retail sales up 0.7% in March. That's a very, very large number. But it makes no sense. How is it possible that the consumer price index is up, shelter and gasoline are up, which means, of course, inflation is up, and the producer price index is up, what it costs to manufacture the goods, that's up, which means inflation is up, but people are spending more? How in the world does this make any sense to anybody? The whole thing is just ridiculous.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
I already put in the question to economist Dr. Matt Will. I'm going to reach out to a couple other people. Allow me to give you my issue. Take it for what you will. A couple of months ago, maybe by now a year ago, time flies when you're having fun. Maybe by now, a year ago, we talked about doom spending. You're like, Tony, what in the world is doom spending? Once you hear it, it kind of sticks with you because it has been with me since the day I read it. People are anxious, and we should be clear about anxiety in society. I think that is so much of what's wrong in society. Everybody's anxious at every second. I think we see it in air travel. We see it in dealings with the police. We see it in dealings in stores when the quote-unquote Karen phenomenon, etc. Anxiety. People are very anxious. Well, shopping is a way to self-soothe. It takes your mind off things. You buy it, you're not even thinking about what it's actually going to cost you or how you're going to pay it back. You just get it. You have this thing, and this thing is a sense of control. It's a sense of safety. It's a sense of, I'm okay. We've argued this and discussed this when we talk about inflation. If you take away from the person who goes to work 5 days a week, 6 days a week, works in a factory, works in an office, 8 hours, 10 hours, if you take away the ability to take the family out to dinner once a week, to take the spouse and go to dinner once a week, if that goes away because it's unaffordable, people ask, what is this all worth? But when you go out to eat and somebody else is getting you the water and somebody else gets you the extra ketchup and you don't have to clean anything, you didn't have to prepare anything, you feel like I'm normal, that the work is worth it because the luxuries are still present. I don't think we should deny that. That's a very true statement. You take that away, the anxiety builds. Well, what if people want that more than anything and don't care what happens on the other side? Like, for example, credit card debt. The other way to look at doom spending is to say that, well, it's all going to go to crap anyway. Everything's going to burn. Might as well have that new TV. Might as well have that new this. Might as well have that new that. Might as well. And so people spend not worrying about what's going to happen next because what do I care as long as I have the thing? Credit card debt for the first quarter of 2024 is $1.129 trillion. $1.12 trillion in credit card debt. In the third quarter of 2023, it was just over a trillion. That's the fourth quarter of 2023, $1.12 trillion. Lord only knows what it was the first quarter. Got to get that number. But people buying because they're like, screw it. It doesn't matter. I won't pay the bill. What are they going to do to me? No one's going to pay their bills. Doom spending. Is that why retail sales are up 0.7%? Because what does it matter? By the way, the Dow Jones predicted 0.3. So, you can tell me that this works out well for Joe Biden. I'll tell you, I don't know if it works out well for the country. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. So that CNN show with Gayle King and Charles Barkley is over. King Charles is only going to last one season. We hardly knew ye. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. great to be with you. Find everything I'm doing over at TonyKatz.com. TonyKatz. TonyKatz.com is where to go. Hey, you try things. Sometimes they don't work. I mean, that's the best I can offer. Sometimes these things just do not work. Not mad at you for trying. But we should be clear that I don't know many people actually thought it was going to work. It's like thinking that the administration is making some kind of sense when it says of Israel, look, we are not wanting to see an escalation in the area. Iran attacks Israel. We don't want to see Israel, you know, do anything silly.
Admiral, just moving forward, what will the White House be looking for and working toward in the next few days, given the dramatic attack that was intercepted over the weekend? It appears all is calm in Israel, given that schools are opening, but Israel has said they will respond when they feel like it, when they feel they are ready, and that there will be a response. What's the message that the administration is sending to Israel as they consider what to do next?
Well, I think really that came out of the discussion with the president and the prime minister on Saturday night. Again, it was commending an incredible military achievement, which, again, showed that Israel has friends and showed that Israel is militarily superior to Iran. Iran did not show itself well on Saturday night, mm-hmm. given what they tried to do and versus what got in. And I think the president's message to Prime Minister Netanyahu was, this is an extraordinary military success. This is a huge diplomatic success. It's quite an achievement. You ought to think about what that success sends as a message to Iran and to the region. And
I reject this idea because John Kirby then follows up with, and that should be enough.
Consider, how important the impact of what you proved you could do on Saturday night really is. The president doesn't want to see this thing widen, doesn't want to see a war with Iran. And again, that's been a consistent message from him.
I have seen people discuss this, not just from the radical Biden side, but the idea that Israel being able to shoot down 99% of the rockets and the drones, it's a win. I have said it before. I'll say it again. I'm going to dig into this in depth on Tony Katz today at noon. That's Pollyanna. It's not a win. And I am flabbergasted by the people who want to push this analysis. They will push the analysis that see how weak Iran is. Look how weak. I'm sorry. That is wanting to get yourself a quick win. You want to own the Iranians. You want to own the Ayatollah. Look at me. I told them what. The Iranians have more rockets and have more drones and have allies who will provide more rockets and drones, whether it's Russia or whether it's China or whether it's North Korea. Meanwhile, Israel used up Lord knows how many rockets trying to shoot these things down. And there's a question of how they're going to replenish that because they don't have the same kind of allies. Iran has other sources that'll write a check. Israel doesn't. Oh, it has the United States. I don't know what it has right now. I've got the squad supported by people like Andre Carson. They don't want to write that check. Although there's been talk that Speaker Johnson is absolutely going to move forward with the funding of Israel immediately. You could see that very, very soon because of what took place. There's no saying that the same thing is going to happen regarding Ukraine. Ukraine, as Major Mike Lyons has discussed on the show a little bit earlier, they're going to run out of ammunition this year. They're going to lose. If we do not engage the funding to be able to make more bullets here that will then get sent over there, they're going to lose. Just saying what is. But you're going to see movement on Israel funding. They just used up a lot of hardware, Israel did. That makes them weaker for the next attack. And what kind of person thinks, well, you can always shoot down their rockets. It's fine. It was 99% this time. What if next time it's only 86%? Oh, but that's still really good. That's still really good. 300, let's do some math, shall we? Let's say they send over another 350 rockets, ballistic missiles, and drones. And you knock down 86%. That's 301. Oh, that's a nice number. It's nice that you're going to the Hall of Fame with that number. That means 49 drones, suicide drones, with weaponry on it, and ballistic missiles hit. You think that's a plan? That's insane. And the people who want to call this a win don't understand what it means for the future. This is nuts. We will see if Israel responds. If I was a betting man, I'd say absolutely and with force, and they should take out 6 or 7 nuclear reactors. I don't know how many Iran has off the top of my head. You know what? Take them all out. That's done. And if Iran doesn't like it, well, you know, whatever. There might be some blockades around Indianapolis as the Jew-hating bigots want to stop you from getting to work. A reminder to Mayor Hogsett, we have snowplows and you should use them in April.